Hi, everyone who is going to be probably listening to the recording of this. It's Deb. Welcome to the Starving for God BVA workshop. Today's call is really just an open discussion and fielding of your questions and going over your inventories as it relates to the resentment inventory, columns 1, columns 2, or columns 3. So who else is on the line today? Do we have anyone else on the line? I know we do. I was just talking to someone else on the line.
Oh, this is Stephanie from Livermore.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I kind of know someone's there. And I am curious, as people start to hop on the call, or even if it's just me and Stephanie today, we'll do some stuff, and I trust that it's going to be super valuable for everybody who's listening to this recording afterwards. So let's get right into it. We'll start with the set-aside prayer. So we'll say, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience. And we'll go into just a couple minutes of meditation, and then we'll just open up the call for questions and for conversation. So if you'll join me, God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience. Help me see the truth about the things that are blocking me. From you, other people, and myself. Great. We'll just go into a few minutes of meditation. Okay, so let's open up the call, and Stephanie, since you are the first on the line, let's dive into whatever questions you have.
Okay, I was muted.
Oh, sorry. You just got back on the line. So, are you there?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I think maybe you started talking while you were still muted. So will you just start again?
Okay. Did you ask me a question?
Yeah, I said, do you want to start with one of your inventories?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the I'm resentful at my employer.
Okay.
The cause won't sign contract, gets rich off of the back of their employees. They want to cut our retirement benefits.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse to hire staff, and they're greedy.
Mm-hmm. So what's your target?
Yeah, that's a hard time. So what is my target?
So, I mean, if you were going to just, like, put it all, like, just summarize it all, like, they are unfair, taking advantage of me, or do you feel like you're being taken for granted, or do you just find them to be greedy, like greedy, you know, something or others, you know, kind of calling them a name?
Mm-hmm. I would say they are greedy. They are, what's the worst name I could call them? they're greedy bastards.
Yeah, greedy bastards. Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Greedy bastards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all right, let's hear the role that you've assigned yourself. So I am what?
I am the best employee, and I deserve to be taken care of.
Hell yeah, sister. And what?
Yeah. I deserve to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Others should see how confident.
Well,
but
hang on. So what's the fear that's associated with that self-esteem? So I am the best employee they could ever have, and I should be taken care of. And what's your fear there?
The fear is that I'm replaceable, and I'm not the best.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. And now your pride. So this is the role you've assigned others, how others see you.
Others should see how competent and valuable I am to the company.
Yes, they should. Absolutely. What is your fear there?
That's another fear. Others should see how competent and valuable I am to the company. My fear is that I'm not valued, and that I really don't have any value.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of restating this, though.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, what I do a lot of times, I always look at the words that I'm using in the sentence. So I might also consider, do I have a fear of being incompetent? And that might be another word that I write in that section.
Mm.
So both of those, because usually the words that I pick for my sentence are, even though I'm not consciously aware of it, like, there's a reason why I'm picking that word, and it's usually because the fear is what's really going on.
Yeah.
So both of those, the value and the possible incompetency, are both might be things that you write in that column.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So your ambition is what you want to have happen in your play. What's going to happen in this scene?
I want to be rich, like those corporate executives.
I want to be rich, and what was the other thing? Sorry?
I want to be rich like those corporate executives.
Yes. Uh-huh. I want to be rich like those corporate executives.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the fear there? I can offer a couple suggestions, but I want to give you a chance to feel into it.
Yeah. My fear is that I won't have enough money to retire.
Yeah, absolutely. That fear of not having enough money, economic insecurity,
mm-hmm.
won't have money to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And then is there also an aspect of like the fear of like feeling it's unfair, like unfairness,
mm-hmm. unfair, unjust,
unjust. Yeah. Injustice. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I see that come up a lot on my inventories. It's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Awesome. Excellent. And so, Stephanie, what do you need on the inside to be okay? What's that security statement for you?
I need my employer to take care of me to be okay.
Awesome. So this is what's so fat. Okay, so let's talk about the fear. What's the fear associated with that?
That I won't have enough, that I can't take care of myself.
Sure. Yeah, that can't take care of myself. Go ahead.
Yeah, that I can't take care of myself.
Yeah, I can't take care of myself or won't be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge, huge theme that comes up for so many of us. This is interesting because this is what happens. See, when I'm playing God, which essentially means that there is no God other than me, which means that I'm responsible for taking care of myself, which means that I'm relying on self. And then I start to place people and things and myself in the director's chair, and then I need those things to start taking care of me for me to be okay. Because wanting to be taken care of, that's not what is actually objectionable in the situation, you know. But if God's doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If God's taking care of us, but we have a tendency when we're living in the scenes of our play that we see in column three, this is me running on my self-will, and I've got to see how running on self-will is hardly a success. And when I'm running on self-will and I'm putting my employer in that director's chair, I have this deep fear that I'm not going to be taken care of because I'm making my employer God in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so beautiful when we get to see the illustration of our play and each scene as that we're playing out. So this is really, really good work. You're doing awesome work. This is exactly what we want to be seeing in the third column.
Mm-hmm.
So then in the second half of that, so now we're at personal relations. So what is this relationship is supposed to look like? What are employers supposed to be?
Employers are supposed to take care of their employees. Employers are supposed to provide financially for their employees.
Awesome. So what's the fear?
Fear is that I won't be taken care of, that I will my fear is I'm going to be terminated.
Yeah, fear of losing your job. So this is great. So what I love to do when I'm writing the fears is if I've already written a fear in one of the other sentences, like not being taken care of with something that you wrote in security, I try something different, and I always use the languaging from my actual sentence. So are there any words in your actual sentence for your personal relations that you might be able to consider the opposite of?
So the opposite of the opposite of being taken care of, I guess.
Yeah, or I think you said you used the word provided for.
Yeah,
right?
Provided for, right.
Yeah, so like not being provided for, does that land for you?
Not being provided for,
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of what I mean, is like actually looking, okay, well, what are some of the words that I've actually used?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not being provided for.
Awesome. So now we're looking at you. So this is gender relations. This is how a real woman, meaning you, is supposed to be in this situation. So what's a real woman?
A real woman wouldn't be dependent on her employer to provide for her.
Awesome. Awesome. So these are the ways that we shame and guilt ourselves for needing something or being something or not being something and of falling short of our chosen ideal of who we think we're supposed to be in the world, based on our gender, based on how a real woman should actually be. Excellent. And so what are some of the fears that might come up in addition to just fearing that you're not a real woman, right?
What's an additional fear besides that?
Yeah.
Fearing that I'm overly dependent.
Awesome. Excellent. Fear of being overly dependent. That's perfect. Okay, so it sounds like there is a pocketbook with this inventory.
There is a huge pocketbook, yeah.
So let's hear what that sentence is.
No one should interfere with my ability to make a living.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. These are
no
great.
One should interfere and what, with my ability to retire.
Excellent. So nobody should interfere. You could almost put that in one sentence. Nobody should interfere with my ability to make a living and to retire. Right.
Okay. Make a living and retire. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And so what's a fear that you might put in that?
Fear. Homeless. poor, broke.
Yeah, write it in. Great. Not being able to make a living, right? I mean, we read that on page 52. I have a fear of not being, can't make a living. There it is, right there. Excellent. I'm so excited for you to get free on this. Yeah, did that help? Okay, cool.
Yeah, that helped a lot. That helped a lot because I was stuck. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, and you know what? It's like we can do this for each other because we're kind of objective. It's like if you were helping me with the exact same resentment inventory, you'd be seeing it with the same clarity. So cool. Well, let me see if anybody else is on the line right now
Thank
and if
you.
They want help. And if not, then we can do another one of your inventories. But let's see if anyone else is on the line.
Sure.
So has anybody else clocked in, so to speak, who wants to ask a question or go over one of their inventories? Hi, sorry, is that Natan? I can't hear anything right now. I know that you have difficulty trying to get on the line. Unfortunately, the call is not coming through. Is anybody else on the line who wants to chime in right now?
Oh, this is Suzanne. I'm here, but I'm pretty much fine listening.
Okay, you're here as support. Fantastic. Well, Stephanie, do you want to go over another one? Because this seems to be really, really helpful for anybody.
I don't think I want to go over anymore. I like to listen in.
She's like, we don't need to do all of mine. Okay, that's fair enough. I'm not even sure if we have anybody else on the line. I know Natan's there, but we can't hear him. I'll give it another minute or two, and if we don't have anyone else chime in, then we might just cut the call short.
Hortense
Hello?
Is here.
Yay! Hello. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Hi. I'm here at 3:25 in the morning here.
Oh my goodness, sister.
but I'm not really awake enough to really be able to share an example. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. That's okay. That's okay. Well, does anybody? I mean, we can also then. Well, actually, I want to keep it on the topic. Yeah. So we have our international folks here. I wanna also just speak into, because I was chatting with some of the folks who aren't able to be on the call today, and I know that there's a number of people who are feeling really overwhelmed and who feel like they're super behind or something's going on. And I'm talking about the people who actually have done the third step and who are in the fourth step. I'm not talking about those folks who are newer into the work and kind of coming up through the steps. I'm not referring to them per se. But this process, and what I'm hearing from a lot of folks who actually have entered into the fourth step is that they're feeling triggered and their eating issues are really cropping up in a big way. And, you know, I just want to say again, I know I've said this in the past couple of calls, is that we're going to keep on doing what we're doing until we don't have to do it anymore. And I don't believe that, well, I'm not saying, yay, great, you're relapsing. I totally get it. I get that that might be happening right now as you're stepping into looking at things that you haven't been, that you haven't looked at before, or getting deeper, or just going into your own body, which so many of us are living in the chaos of our minds and kind of spinning around like the Tasmanian devil, you know, creating all of these little fires that are outside of us so that we don't have to look at the fire that's on the inside of us, and you know, and what's feeling like it needs to be healed from the inside. It's like sometimes scary, and we don't want to look at it, and so we create a lot of chaos on the outside so that we don't have to deal with it. And that's a part of the ease and comfort that the doctor's talking about in the doctor's opinion. Even though the chaos outside of my life doesn't necessarily feel good, and even though maybe some of the habits that I have, the ways that I'm acting out around food and my body don't feel good in the moment, they feel super compulsive and it's really shaming, at least it's distracting enough so that I don't have to look deeper at the stuff that's really, really hurting on the inside. And so it's a form of ease and comfort because it keeps me separated from the deeper feelings of perhaps loneliness or that deep God hole of this isn't going to work and no one's there for me and I'm all alone and I'm fucked. You know, like that stuff that just feels so, so deep, and I'm broken, and, you know, like all of those fears that we hold on to. Because remember, the fears were driven by 100 forms of fear, and that's driving the self-pity and the delusion and the actions and the attitudes and everything else that we're walking around life with, and it's influencing how we're being in our world. But you know, we don't want to look with that. We don't want to feel that pain, and so even if you're there and you think, well, I'm really, really off base right now, I've really gotten way off track, I'm going to actually say, let's reframe that. Maybe you haven't gotten as far off track as you think you are, and maybe it's just that you're actually starting to swim and dive in that uncharted territory. And it's actually a sign that you're moving in the right direction, even though it feels completely chaotic and it feels really scary and it's totally mysterious. And so maybe it's possible that this is what's in your highest right now. And I don't know, because, you know, again, each one of us is like we're on one side of a closed door, and we're looking through the keyhole at the rest of our life, and we think that we have the whole perspective of what we're supposed to do and how this all fits together and what this is all going to look like and what's on the other side, and that there's nothing on the other side, and all we're doing is looking at this tiny, tiny little speck of everything that's available to us. And we don't have the power to walk through that door. We don't have access yet. And this is what's so beautiful, because this is what we're getting. We don't have the power to do different right now on this side of our fourth step. But as we go through this process, as we put one foot in front of the other, as we keep on dropping to our knees each day and saying, God, please hold me and help me and guide me in each moment. Show me who you'll have me be. And help me to move through this. And as we continue to rely on that, and we get through the process and we get into our fifth step and we start to get free, we start to feel like we're walking hand in hand with our Creator, and we do 6 and 7 and we really, really feel open, we really feel in that alignment with God, and we take our spirit, our awakened spirit into the world, and we start making amends, and we start to bring that deep empowerment and that deep, you know, exactly who God will have me be. The image that I get always is like being this magnet that's growing and growing in my like energetic pull, and I start to draw back all those disparate pieces of me that have been scattered all across space and time, all the ways that I've been kind of losing myself in past stories and past resentments and fears and all the things that are kind of holding me back. And as I start to do my amends, it's the one thing that starts to bring me back into myself, and I galvanize my fullest power, my fullest expression, and I really start to experience who God would have me be. And I'm amazed before I'm halfway through of the ninth step, not of the steps in general, but of the ninth step. I'm amazed before I'm halfway through, and then I'm in 10, and all of a sudden I'm like, how did I get here, and how has this been removed from me? And I'm not working, I'm not efforting, I'm just here. How did that happen? I don't know. All I know is that I'm in the realm of the spirit somehow, and I want to stay here, so I'm going to continue to watch. I'm going to continue to be open. I'm going to continue to ask and be of service. And this is what we get to do each day in our prayer and meditation. And then we're so on fire for this work that it's not an effort. It's an honor to go out and to spread this message in the world. I mean, it's my honor and pleasure to create this time to share with all of you and to connect with all of you. It's very sacred to me, and I really love it, and you help me even more than you think I'm helping you. And so I just want to give you that just to shed some light, literally to shed some light on what's ahead of you. And so if you're feeling here right now that you're in the dark, just know that there is so much light ahead, and there's so much in store, and this process is going to open that door for you. You're not even going to have to open it yourself. The door is going to open, and all of a sudden you're going to get to walk through a free person, and you're going to get to know a new freedom and a new happiness, and this is what is available to us. So coming back into this moment right now, if you're feeling that frustration, just know that vision that I've just created, and that it truly is, it's what I've experienced in my life, it's what I experience over and over again, and I know I'm not the only one. I know there's people on this call who can testify the same thing. So I'm going to stop talking right there and just want to pause for like one more minute. And if anybody wants to jump on the line and has a question about their fourth step resentment inventory, either columns 1, columns 2, or columns 3, totally available. If no one over the next minute or so logs onto the line, then I'm just gonna close the call for today, and this recording will be available for folks after the fact. Okay, well, I think that means that we don't have anyone else, so I'm just going to bring this call to a close, and I want to just thank Stephanie so much for being a brave soul and for going through her inventory on the phone. That was really, really helpful. I also want to just reiterate, and thank you to the ladies, Kimberly, Dana, and Cheryl, who sent out the invitations to everybody in our group about joining that Facebook group, that private secret Facebook group. And this is not a requirement of being a part of our workshop at all. This is actually just an additional fellowship meeting in between meetings where we can go and connect. And there's already been some nice dialogue that started up in the group and people sharing their experience. So So definitely go on there. You can log on as an anonymous person. As long as you provide me with the email, or if you receive the email, you can, if you don't have a Facebook account, you can create an anonymous account and be a part of that group, and no one needs to know who you are. So without further ado, I will, oh, and one more thing, actually. That email, those two emails that I sent you with the full lecture on part one and part two of column three, they're really, really good recordings. I'm really proud of how they came out. I think they came out so beautifully. It was really an honor to share. And in those emails, I have the contact numbers for a couple of people in those groups. A couple of people in our group who are available for you to ask questions to, who are available to help you as you're moving through the steps. Please reach out to those people. I am going to be out of the country from the 17th to the 24th, and I'm not going to be available to help folks one-on-one. And so definitely reach out to the Facebook group. Reach out to those people who are in the emails, and sit with God, because God is holding your hand through this process. So lean on God. Okay, so let's finish the meeting with our third step prayer. God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. And may you be held in that blessing and that grace. Bye-bye.